Englandy. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to episode 37 of Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. Four Fridays and it's game on the Gold Coast. And on this edition, we catch up with a member of the 109 Strong Athletics team announced this week, Ben Harradine, discus thrower extraordinaire, Delhi gold medalist, and a member of an elite group of athletes lining up for their fourth Commonwealth Games in athletics. But before we speak with Ben, and as we count down with just four Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. It's been a huge week for Commonwealth Games news, with teams announced in athletics, badminton, gymnastics, paratriathlon and wrestling, and the Games selection trials in swimming are underway at the Games venue on the Gold Coast. We'll have a full wrap-up of the swimming trials along with the final team in swimming in the next episode of Gold Coast Gold. In gymnastics, Commonwealth Games Australia has confirmed their 13-member gymnastics team for the Games. The team will be headlined by rhythmic gymnast Danielle Prince, who will be competing in her third Games. She made her debut at Delhi at 2010 as an 18-year-old, where she combined with her teammates to take out a gold medal in the team competition. And now as a 25-year-old, Prince will become the first Australian female gymnast across any discipline to compete at three Commonwealth Games. Georgia Rose Brown, Glasgow in 2014, and Luke Wadsworth, who also competed in Glasgow, will also bring experience to the team for the Gold Coast. Brown was a member of the women's artistic gymnastics team that claimed the silver medal in the team's event in Glasgow. Two good stories, Queenslanders Michael Machia and Mitchell Morgans have both been selected to make their Games debuts. Both were originally named in the Glasgow team, but unfortunately had to withdraw prior to injury for those events, so we wish them all the best in getting to the start line this time. In beach volleyball, Taliqua Clancy and Maria Faye Artacho del Sola and Chris McHugh and Damien Schumann will create history as the first women's and men's beach volleyball teams to compete for Australia at the Games. Clancy, who was the first Indigenous beach volleyball Olympian when she competed in Rio, joins forces with Peruvian-born Artacho del Sola, who also competed for Rio for Australia in Rio. Regular listeners will know that the pair only recently formed as a team in October 2017 and have been undefeated since on both the Asian and the World Tours. The men's team of McHugh and Schumann are also a relatively new pairing, having formed following the Rio Olympics after injuries and other circumstances to their respective partners at the time. The pair were long-time rivals, but will now join forces to compete for Australia at the Games. In athletics, Commonwealth Games Australia has announced an additional 44 names to complete the athletics squad for the Games. This brings the total number of athletics representatives to 109, the second largest team in history following Melbourne in 2006. Kurt Fearnley will close out his remarkable and inspirational career with selection confirmed in both the marathon and the 1500 metres in the T54 category. Fearnley was the silver medalist in the T54 1500 at the Glasgow Games, following on from his gold medal winning performance in the same event in Delhi. Fearnley joins another T54 1500 metre representative, Angie Ballard, as the only Australian athletes at the 2018 Games still competing from the Paralympics in Sydney in 2000. Two gold medalists from Delhi in Fabrice Lapierre and our guest on this edition of Gold Coast Gold, Ben Harradine, in the long jump and the discus, joined Catherine Mitchell in the javelin, Sally Pearson in the 100 hurdles and 4x1 relay, and Lauren Wells in the 400 hurdles, 4x4 relay and the long jump in a record-equalling fourth Commonwealth Games. in badminton. A 10-strong badminton team has been unveiled off the back of both of our men's and women's teams winning the Oceania Teams Championship in New Zealand. The team will be headlined by current Commonwealth Games number 2 ranked pair of Groya Somerville and Sechenya Mapasa. Somerville and Mapasa have had an impressive lead into the Games, winning the Oceania Championships for the second time and making the final eight in the China Open Super Series. In triathlon, Commonwealth Games Australia has announced a 6-strong paratriathlon team. The team of 5-time ITU paratriathlon world champion Bill Chaffee, Scott Crowley and Nick Breveridge will be joined by reigning PTWC world champion Emily Tapp, Sarah Tate and Lauren Parker, who will all compete in the wheelchair class at the Games and will bring the total Australian triathlon team for the Games to 12. They will race over the sprint distance of 750-metre swim, 20-kilometre hand cycle and 5-kilometre wheelchair event at the Games when they compete on April 7. The team is full of athletes with incredible storylines. Chaffee was a former Ironman triathlete who was in an accident in 2005 when he was struck by a truck while training for that Ironman. Beveridge grew up as an avid sports fan, taking part in cross-country swimming, hockey and water polo before waking up one morning in 2003 at the age of just 17 to discover he was completely paralysed from the waist down. He was later diagnosed with transverse myelitis, a neurological disorder causing inflammation to the spinal cord. Crowley, at 38, sustained an incomplete spinal injury while snowboarding in Canada 12 years ago and went on to captain the Adelaide Thunder in the Wheelchair Basketball National League. For Emily Tapp, she missed Rio when she was nominated in the athletics team but was forced out when she burnt her legs in an accident. She became a paraplegic in 2011 after a camp drafting accident in Katherine, and since then she has dedicated herself to competing in paratriathlon events. And finally, completing the women's team is 29-year-old former World Age Group Ironman silver medalist from Newcastle, Lauren Parker, who in April last year, while out training on the bike, crashed into a guardrail while travelling at about 40 kilometres an hour, suffering broken ribs, a punctured lung, a broken scapula, broken back and a broken pelvis, leaving her with no feeling from the waist down since the accident. It's an incredible team and we wish them all the very best. The team announcements now bring the total number of athletes selected to 293 of the 470 athletes that will be competing for Australia on the Gold Coast in April. In fact, you can add another 8 athletes to that list with the news of the Australian wrestling team, with 5 men and 3 women competing in the various categories, weight divisions, including the current UFC fighter, Robert Whittaker, who will compete in the men's 97-kilogram division. And finally, a shout-out to Mark Knowles, our special guest on episode 28 of Gold Coast Gold, who has announced that he will retire after the Gold Coast Games. Knowles has enjoyed an unbelievable career, winning 3 Commonwealth Games gold medals in 2006, 2010 and 2014, and he will aim for a 4th gold medal on the Gold Coast, pending, of course, his selection in the final 18-member Kookaburra team. Mark Knowles also owns a gold medal from the 2004 Athens Olympics, along with bronze medals in the 2008 Beijing and 2012 London Olympic Games. And if you haven't already, have a listen to his interview from episode 28 for some great insights into leadership and the Sidelines Champion program run by the AIS and Commonwealth Games Australia ahead of the Gold Coast Games. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games News. Joining me as my special guest on this edition of Gold Coast Gold is one of the senior members now of the athletics team, one of a group that are competing in their 4th Commonwealth Games in athletics, which is an equal record. There's a stack of them. We'll get to that in a moment. It's our discus star, the Australian record holder, former Commonwealth Games gold medalist, Big Ben Harradine. Ben, welcome to Gold Coast Gold.
Thanks very much for having me.
You must be excited. 4th Games, I would imagine for you, you never take it for granted, your selection?
Not at all, mate. I'm very happy to be here. I'm super stoked to be going another round and representing us in the green and gold, for sure.
Did you, you've had such a long career, and your third previous Commonwealth Games, you finished 8th in Melbourne in a fantastic competition where Scotty Martin won the gold medal there at a home Games. You won in Delhi, 4th just off the podium in Glasgow. Did you consider putting the discus shoes in the rack after the Rio Olympic Games?
Not really, Dave. I think I felt that I really wanted to end on my terms, and having the opportunity to compete on the Gold Coast was a nice way of doing the full circle, if you will. Started in Australia in 2006, and then doing the whole full circle, a couple of Olympics, a couple of World Champs, and then the Commonwealth Games back on home soil. It was something that I couldn't say no to, and I thought, I'll just have a sneaky crack.
Sneaky crack indeed, and you found yourself on the team. You've got some teammates, which is good news. They're a bit younger than you. 35 you are now, so you're not the youngest person on the team. Don't think you're the oldest, but you're not the youngest. But young Mitchell Cooper and Matt Denny, it must be great to be surrounded by some young up-and-comers as well, as you were, I guess, in 2006 when you made your debut.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great to know that the state of throwing and discus for men, especially in Australia, is strong. You know, we have some great guys coming through, and if I can leave the sport knowing that, I'm pretty stoked. You know, I hope that I've had an impact on the sport in a way that people can aspire to smash my record and also compete on the world stage. That'd just make me super happy.
How did you become a discus thrower?
Decathlon. I started with decathlon. For me, that was like trying before you buy, pretty much, you know, going to the record store and listening to the first 10 seconds of every album, just getting a first little taste. And I enjoyed the throws. I thought, that it was just a nice way to learn a technique that can continually develop through your whole career. And, running I was okay at, and throwing I was also okay at, but I just found it a little bit more interesting to refine techniques and just make them a little bit better each year.
I would love to see you run a 1500.
It wasn't pretty, but I got there.
Is it one of those cases where you find, in all sports across all the different disciplines, you find something that you like and you're good at? Was the discus the thing that you were the best at, or is it the thing that you enjoyed doing the most?
I think it was something that I enjoyed doing the most. And for me, in track and field, in order to have this lengthy career, I really had to enjoy what I was doing and have fun. That was one of my basic core values when I first started, and I still have that, Dave. I really enjoy throwing discus. I have fun learning. Each year I learn something new. Dad and I, we change it up each year and try and implement new things. So from the very get-go, it's always been something that I really enjoyed the most.
You talk about your dad. Has he always been your coach? He's your coach now, and I'll get to some of your great hashtags because you've got a few on your social media programs, but that's one of them, Pops Flips the Bird, and your relationship with your dad's really interesting and obviously a key motivator for you.
Absolutely. No, Dad hasn't always been my coach. Of course, I was down in Melbourne with the great Gus Floplow there in Ringwood, and he was with me for my first Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. Actually, I was going to compete in the qualification competition, and he called me up, as he does, and says, "Get down here, you're going to throw." No arguments. So down I roll, and I knocked out the qualifier, and I was so happy that he convinced me to do that because, I hadn't really had it in my mind to compete for a chance in Melbourne at that stage. But then I moved over to train with the great Jürgen Schulp in Germany, and he was a fantastic mentor both to me and to my dad. Of course, Dad wanted to learn a little bit more about the throws, and he was very liberal with his knowledge and helped Dad grow as a coach and develop his own ideas. And so, after spending the time in Germany, Dad took over the reins, and it's just been a great labour of love together for both him and I. And we have a really, really amazing time on our adventures around the world.
It's one of those things for you, Ben, where it's not just, particularly in the back end of your career, that it hasn't always been about the performance, has it? You don't, externally at least, and you can tell me whether this is different, get stressed out about the result as much as some other athletes do. Is that a fair comment?
No, absolutely. I think initially it was, you know, I invested a lot of my own money, a lot of my own time to go over and train with Jürgen, and that led to Commonwealth Gold in Delhi. And afterwards, you know, I sort of had to have something else. It was a bit of an inner turmoil between enjoyment and also, you know, presenting myself as good as I possibly can on the world stage, but also finding a medium that I was best competing at. And, you know, you see athletes all over the world and you see how they are and what you're competing against. And I couldn't find that place that, on me in discus or me in track and field. And I had to rediscover what that passion was and where it was coming from. And so Dad and I, we teamed up and it became more about family and the love for sport and developing and educating ourselves to help the sport be better, not only for us, but for others. And, you know, I don't regret doing that. You know, I've failed many times, but I'm not scared to say that I've done that. And I think it should be something that should be promoted, to fail as often as you can, because that leads to learning. And I can say that I've done a great deal of that in my career.
Yeah, it's an interesting approach, and I think it's one that gives you the respect of your teammates, that's for sure. Australia's had a great record in Commonwealth Games across a lot of events. Discus is one of them. We've had five winners. Five different athletes have won a gold medal at the Commonwealth Games in the discus, you being one of them, of course. Scotty Martin in Melbourne, Ian Reid back in 1950, Warwick Selvey, he was a bit of a legend, 1962, and Werner Riederer in 1994. Why is that we've been able to have that sort of record in a very technical event at the Commonwealth Games?
Gee, oh, that's a good question. I'm not particularly sure why it is. I just think that people are still passionate about representing the country and wearing the green and gold. And so that is, or to me and to many, it's an incredible honour. But why discus? I don't particularly know. I mean, it's a difficult one to put a thought on. But I'm happy that it has been, and I hope it continues to be, that's for sure.
Well, I guess to a degree, you know, you were out there that night, that unbelievable night when Scotty Martin won in Melbourne, coming from behind, last round, broke the fence when he jumped into the arms of Gus, who you mentioned. How influential was that for you, being out there and being a part of it?
Look, you know, I was in the background or behind the lights when all that stuff was going on, and I saw the year that Scotty was having. That year, he was, you know, he couldn't put a foot wrong, so to speak. He was throwing really well and being very strong competitively. And Gus is a master at getting us to compete well at championships. I think he's just got that great experience and helping us navigate our way through major champs. And during the competition, I think you know, the crowd was on our side. It was anyone wearing green and gold, they were going crazy for. And you know, there was a bit of a rivalry between Jason Tungsten and the Aussie crew before the championships came about. And, you know, he threw his first throw and said, you know, let's chase me. And Scotty, he responded right up until and used every throw right up until the last round. And, you know, it was a great credit to him and both to Gus to be aggressive and take that away from the Canadian.
You've got such an interesting off-field interests and persona. You spend half your life in Sweden in the snow. Can't be ideal to be a track and field competitor that competes outdoors in that sort of environment. But you also are so engaging on your social media. But let's first of all discuss Sweden. How did you get there in the first place, and what do you like about it, and what do you do there to keep yourself busy when you're not competing?
Well, Sweden, I landed there for a couple of reasons. But, Germany had run its course for me. You know, the Germans can be extremely intense, meticulous characters. And I trained there for 6-7 years, and I was just about ready to move on. I found that I'd been that intense person for quite a long time, and I needed something new. And I came home on an injury assignment, if you like, and I was at the Institute of Sport. And I fortunately met a lady there and happened to be Swedish and a very good swimmer at that point. And I I followed her back to Sweden after being in Germany, and I just really loved it. It's very similar to Australia. We have, you know, people are very welcoming, and there's lots of nature and the things that I enjoy about my own country. And then, fortunately, I was able to represent a club over there, and I now work as a performance director in Sweden, and using my knowledge and experience from my own career and my learning over the years. But, you know, I'm a person who is happiest outside. I think, if possible, I'd like to be able to take my shoes off, but, you know, you can't always do that in Sweden when it's minus 25, but just it's taking new adventures, seeing new things, talking with people and learning. It's a great opportunity to do that, and I also immersed myself in the language and learned the language pretty quick, and can now speak Swedish and German quite fluently. And you know, it's super fun. I love these little adventures.
You talk about your love of the culture, etc. How does your sense of humour go down there?
Not very well, actually. I was only thinking about this the other day. I love to tell a bit of a dry joke here and there, and I just don't translate well to the Swedes. I'm having to clarify what I'm talking about most of the time. But, you know, I try it on anyway. I have to be me, and I think a lot of people find the way I approach things quite contagious. I like to have a smile and to try and enjoy things and find the best in people. And as long as I'm smiling, I find other people are doing it more often. And well, look, I can't be too unhappy with that. It's trying to take a little bit of Australia over to the Swedes just to break down a few of their barriers is always a good experience.
Yeah, I like it. You talk about your partner, Jenny Johansson, who's a world champion herself in swimming. What have you learnt? You know, you couldn't get two things that are more separate, I would imagine, between discus and being, you know, a 50-metre breaststroker and being one of the world's best in that. But what have you learnt from each other?
Wow, that's a really good question too. I think I had a bit of a hand in writing Jenny's strengths programs, but also as a person, I saw her professionalism and how meticulous that she was with just organising her life to be an elite athlete. And it led me to the idea that, you know, being elite for itself, it's not really a title that you earn. It's a behaviour that you can have even from a younger age. And she was the epitome of that and still is, just the way she approached each day and never, ever didn't do her best. She was always doing her best every day at everything that she could. And, you know, going into that World Championships where she won, before she left, she put on a tracksuit and she said, oh, I have to make sure that it looks good before I stand on the dais. And in a way, I knew she was joking, but I think deep down underneath all of the skin and inner beliefs, she truly believes that. And I saw her swim her own race and get some payback for all the hard work that she'd been doing over the years. And to me, that was great inspiration. You know, I didn't get too involved in the swimming, but I got involved and I got to see what someone does in the background in order to earn, you know, one of the greatest titles in the world. And for me, it was truly inspiring.
We're talking with Ben Harradine, our discus Australian record holder, Commonwealth Games gold medalist from Delhi in 2014, in 2010, I should say, who's going to line up for his fourth Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast in the athletics team that's been announced this week. As we know, Ben, it's not actually track and field, it's field and track. The track events are where we get our success. It's where all the interest is. The 100 metres is just a warm-up event for the long jump. But after that comes the discus. And you've done a great job in bringing attention to this. You're a worldwide phenomenon for your uniforms that you wear. How did that start? Tell us a bit about it.
It started with you, Dave.
I didn't ask that question for that reason. I was hoping, and you've still got one of my uniforms, so I'm glad you've raised that. It's going to come back at some stage, but now keep going.
You know, look, when you see a track and field meet in Europe, everyone has their own sponsors, and I'm not sure if this was the reason why you did it, but part of the reason for me was I had to find the fun in what I did and to show a little bit of me and my character in throwing the discus. And I saw that when you go to these meets, everyone's wearing the same stuff, and it's so boring. And as a spectator, I'm looking out there at everyone, and we all just look the same. So I was like, well, you know, here's an opportunity to really stand out and give someone or the crowd something to remember. And I remember seeing an image of one of your fantastic tuxedos that I wore, and it was way too small. But after that, you know, a few people have helped me along the way to track down suits, and I've worn or tried to wear different ones just to leave a little bit of me behind. And I remember after Crystal Palace one year, I was taking the train into London and sitting in the carriage just quietly on my own, and I heard this lady going, "Oh, did you see that lad wearing the nude suit? What a hilarious bloke!" And, you know, that was so cool to see, and that really touched me because I knew that I'd gotten to someone in the audience.
So that's one thing you should check out, Ben Harradine, on Instagram in particular, to check out his suits. But the other thing that's really captured people's attention is your Will It Throw series, where you get some other object and attempt to throw it, and can it go as far as a discus? How did that start?
I think one day at training, I was just throwing shoes because we use that as a warm-up tool sometimes. And from the shoes, you know, Dad said, "Oh, why don't you try throwing different things just to see how they go?" And we started filming them, and then I asked people for recommendations. And, I mean, I've had some crazy things recommended to me, but also, you know, being able to throw a phone over 76 metres, which is, a world record with a discus. But I've thrown prosthetic legs from other athletes, and I've thrown Thomas filled sock and the Aussie meat pie and different things. And, you know, it's a great way of drawing attention to the discus in a new way, and something that also people can relate to. Like, if I say I'm throwing a toaster 60 metres, you know, everyone has a toaster in their home. They can see what it weighs and what it feels like. And to throw it 60 metres, I think it's quite impressive. So, you know.
What went the furthest?
The phone, actually. Or I could argue that the air guitar went the furthest, but no one ever saw it land.
It's good stuff. Hey, talk seriously for a moment, as an Indigenous athlete and one who of just a handful of Indigenous Australian athletes that have won medals at Commonwealth Games and been to the Olympics, there are four in the athletics team that have won gold medals. Percy Hobson in the high jump in 62, Kathy Freeman, of course, in the 200 and 400 in 1994, Nova Peris in the 200 in 98 alongside you. It's pretty amazing company. I know it's something you're very proud of.
Absolutely. Just recently, I've also been out in Alice, and just the fantastic feeling and majesty we have in this country, and also understanding where it comes from, the people who belong to it. For me, I can't explain that to foreigners when I'm overseas, but when I get a dose of it when I come back to Australia, it just helps me be so grateful for that, for the place that we come from.
No, I was going to say, you carried the baton in Alice Springs. Just that must have been a fantastic experience as well. And you talk about, not to be stereotypical, but your love of getting the shoes off and touching the earth, and you know, these are characteristics of who you are.
Absolutely. You know, my mum is good at grounding me, and so it's taking my shoes off and walking around in the dirt and just being home. I feel very home when I'm here in Australia, and when I'm overseas, I do the same thing and close my eyes and often picture being home again. And but you know, representing the Indigenous heritage side of my family is an incredible honour. Family is one of my core values, and with the Indigenous side, family is huge power. And so when I go to a competition, for me, it's like an army of people around me, a great circle, and it gives me great power when I go out there and represent both Australia and Indigenous Australia. And it's a really, really good honour, incredible honour for me when I'm throwing the discus, representing the green and gold, but also representing my people and my family.
And so just tell us about your experience with the baton in Alice Springs.
Load the flies. Alice was amazing. From the day we got there, I just had no idea what to expect. We flew over the Maori Man. I don't know if you've heard about that, but it'd be worth Googling if no one knows what it is. I went into Alice, and, you know, to hold the baton, it was a really nice connection to this full circle that I've been saying. You know, I won gold in 2010, and I started in 2006, and here I am, Australia, and I'm in back in Australia, and I'm carrying the baton for the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast, and I'm just so grateful to have that opportunity.
So we've got four. One of the things we've been doing, and this is episode 37. So we've just about done every week since we first started in the middle of last year. I've been counting down the number of Fridays to go for the games since then, and we're now down to four. That's to the opening ceremony. Of course, athletics starts on the a few days after that, but it is incredibly close. What's your plan between now and the games?
I'll be staying down in Newcastle and just chipping away. I've got another couple of weeks training underneath that I have to put underneath me, and being around my family and my friends here, and just having a good time being back in Australia. And then I'll sneak out there to the Gold Coast. I'm not sure exactly when, but then get into that team environment that we all love so much, and that great camaraderie with the other crew, and rip into them.
And what's your goal?
Wow. I think, first of all, I'd love to make a final and then be in that final top eight, and then just battle it out and throw as far as I can with my family and my friends and my home crowd in the stadium would be the perfect end to a wonderful circle.
So is it, and I'll ask this question last. I've got another one first. Your Australian record is 68-20, and to be honest, Ben, you're not going to be in that sort of shape. That's probably an unattainable distance for you. So do you contemplate, you know, what sort of distance will it take to get a medal? Are you aiming for a distance? Are you aiming for a place, or is it just putting together the best competition you can?
This year, Dave, I've learnt that thinking about distance is a B problem. It's an uncontrollable for me. You know, I'm thinking more about what can I do in that moment to throw as far as I can and to control those controllables, going out there into the circle and do what I know that I can do best. And if I do that, I know how far that I can throw. And I believe that, you know, taking a medal will be a 65, 66 metre distance, will be top three for sure. There's going to be a few people that are throwing out around 69. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Commonwealth record go. But for me, it's just focusing on those controllables and using that great Aussie crowd and go crazy like I did in my last round at Nationals.
Yep, we look forward to seeing that. Now, so then the last question you just alluded to, is this it?
Yeah, mate, this will be my last Australian Commonwealth Games team for sure. I'm proud to say that. I never thought that I would say it ever, and if I'd ever feel comfortable saying that. But, you know, I'm proud of the career that I've had, and I'm very grateful to be able to have done that, what I have done. But I feel like I've still just got a little bit more to give, and you'll see all of that coming out on the Gold Coast in a couple of weeks' time.
And do you go on to Tokyo, or is it? You're a bit evasive on that. Last Commonwealth Games thing. The next one's on for another 4 years. You're not going to get off that easy.
No, mate, no. This will be it for me. Yeah, I'll be happy to say that this will be my last international team.
Well, that's a bit sad, really. But, you know, at 35 years of age after the career you've had, we'll all be cheering for you. Who's going to be leading the team songs in the team meetings when Ben Harradine's not there?
Hopefully someone, but if not, I'll be happy to take the job as an ambassador.
Ben, thanks for your time. It's great to talk to you. We've all enjoyed watching your career as it's unfolded, including that Commonwealth Games gold medal from 2010. And we look forward to you leading the way with the two youngsters, Mitch Cooper and Matt Denny, on the Gold Coast in just over a month's time. And we can't wait to watch it.
Mate, thank you very much. I really appreciate being a part of the program.
That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.